97.9 FM, WCHL, and the UNC College of Journalism and Mass Communication presents Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examinations of issues of overarching importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions to problems in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the UNC campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the idea of paying college athletes, round two. Joining us to weigh in on that subject this week, Ramogi Huma, who played linebacker at UCLA and is now the president of the National College Players Association. He's joining us from Los Angeles. And from Columbus, Ohio, Charlie Scott, former UNC basketball standout who played 10 years in the pros. He has an NBA championship ring and an Olympic gold medal. Gentlemen, the cover story in the September 16th issue of Time magazine outright stated, it is time to pay college athletes. Ramogi, we'll start with you. Some would argue that college athletes already get paid, but you say that a full ride isn't really a full ride. Will you explain that?
Sure, and thanks for having me. You know, right now, college athletes are paid, but they are not paid enough, and our organization is looking at doing a few things. In terms of compensation, you know, compensation comes in many forms. One form is a scholarship. Right now, players have a one-year scholarship that's revocable at the end of the year for any reason. And it falls short of the price tag of the school, the cost of attendance, leaving players with about $3,000 to $5,000 in out-of-pocket expenses every single year. Players can be stuck with medical bills, chronic injuries, you know, severe brain trauma. And there's ways to redirect a lot of the money that they're generating. Right now, there's over $1 billion in brand new revenue. And we feel that a portion of that should go towards providing base protections and also being put into a trust fund to increase graduation rates so that incentivize players to graduate. And if they don't, it provides some support for them, some resources, so they can finish up their last semester or two. But definitely, players are not getting what their market value is, nowhere close.
Charlie, what was it like for you financially when you played college ball?
Well, it was kind of tough for me financially because, I grew up in a lower income family, and then all of a sudden I was at the University of North Carolina, and the average lifestyle of the UNC student was very much different from my lifestyle. You know, I grew up in Harlem, a one-parent family, and my mother, as she could, but things just did not. I could not afford to go to college, and while I was at college, it was easy for me to see the differential of my lifestyle compared to the other college students' lifestyle.
Charlie, you told me earlier that you couldn't afford new clothes, trips home to see your family, those kinds of things.
Well, the thing about it, and I remember that, you know, when I went to college, I had a four pair of pants and one jacket, and one pair of shoes, and that was my complete wardrobe. And I'm pretty sure that those students that went to college at the same time I did, who parents were paying for them to go to college, made sure they were more well equipped for the circumstances, well dressed, and they came from a high income family. So therefore, you know, there was a very big differential of me just being on college campus and really enjoying all that college had to offer me.
Ramogi, will you share the anecdote that sort of led you to form the National College Players Association?
Sure. I was a true freshman at UCLA playing football. I was backing up an All-American, Donnie Edwards, and midway through the season, Donnie was on a radio show similar to this, and he was talking about first that he was that he was grateful for his opportunity, but that for some reason the scholarship check didn't cover all of his basic necessities and that he didn't even have food to last him until his next check. And so we went back to his apartment after the show and found groceries on his doorstep. Somehow the NCAA found out and suspended him. And meanwhile, they're selling Donnie's jersey in the stores, making money. You know, we're ranked 12th in the nation. We're 5-0. Coach is driving a Cadillac. And I myself had lost 15 pounds just stepping on campus as a freshman from that time to when Donnie was suspended. So I just really felt that players needed a voice and a way to voice their concerns and try to get some basic protections.
Charlie, what do you think is the solution?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the solution is, but I think that something that could come close to solution is the fact that I feel like that if you bring an athlete on a college campus, you should make it possible for him to enjoy the lifestyle that a college calls for. I think if you take the average income of every incoming college student and what is really afforded to them to be able to enjoy a college, that I think that each college athlete should be given a stipend that put them comparable to any college student that was paying to go to college, so that therefore he can do the things that every college student is doing at that time.
Ramogi, I can understand that people would say, okay, I understand a full ride is not a full ride. That's not fair. That it should be. The expenses should be covered, medical expenses, maybe a stipend. But your organization is advocating for more than that.
Yes, you know, again, there's health and safety issues, but there's also continuing education and ways to increase graduation rates. Right now, half the guys who generate the money don't graduate in between football and basketball in terms of federal graduation rates, and we want to see that change. And with all this new money coming in, it's a good opportunity to incentivize these guys, you know, say, look, if you graduate, here's the earmark. Here's some of the, you know, resources that you've been generating. And if you don't graduate, then the only way you can tap that is to continue your education and complete your degree. So I think that's a way to get players more of what they really bring to the university and align what really should be a big part of the payday is an education. It's not just a scholarship. Because if you spend 4 or 5 years making money for someone else but ultimately don't graduate, that doesn't set you up for life. But what I would say, though, is that I don't see, you know, my organization is not advocating for professional salaries and pay for play, but I really do think there's a lot of merits. I mean, I don't think that they're really is a lot of excuses not to pay players in some form or fashion, because we live in a capitalistic country. You know, they're the only group of American citizens that are excluded from gaining what they can make legally in a fair market. And that seems very very much like a double standard, especially when you look at the coaches' salaries and the ADs and conference commissioners all on down the line to even the sponsors.
And Charlie, you don't really support anything beyond the stipend.
Well, it's not that I don't support anything beyond the stipend, but I mean, I might not support the idea of paying players accordingly to their value on the team, because I think that causes an inequity upon the team. I mean, I don't believe in paying the number one quarterback or giving him more money than giving the player on the football team, the 100th player, money, because then you call. I mean, I think you'll get a little division within a team when you start doing those things. I think that each player should get a certain allotment of money so that he can enjoy college life, be able to travel home, and not only that, be able to have his parents come to watch him play. Too many times now, especially in the NCAA basketball tournament, the parents of a lot of the players can't afford to make the trip, so they end up watching their kids on television while the school and everyone else have all the rewards of what this kid is doing. I think that, you know, there should be some type of payment to a college athlete, but not in so much as that according to your value to the team.
We're discussing the idea of paying college athletes on Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
We're back with Sports Focus and discussing the idea of paying college athletes with Ramogi Huma, the National College Players Association, and former star athlete Charlie Scott, who played both at UNC and in the pros. Ramogi, I don't know why it is, but it seems a bit off-putting to think of paying players market value. Why is that? Is it because the NCAA has conditioned us to think that?
Absolutely. I mean, they even have these buzzwords they admittedly invented, like student athlete and amateurism. They didn't invent amateurism, but they wrapped their, you know, they draped their logo around the idea of amateurism, and they try to make it a moral issue, you know. And if Americans stop to think about that, you know, is capitalism a moral issue? Is getting what you're worth a moral issue? And if so, is it more moral to deny people their value or to allow them to seek their value so long as it's legal? You know, I think it just so happens that that definition and their whole spin on this is very self-serving. So if the players are not going to get their market value, who does it go to? Why is the NCAA president making almost $2 million a year and have access to a private NCAA jet? You know, why are the conference commissioners making $2 million a year plus and coaches? You know, Coach K at Duke, they said last year he made almost $10 million. You know, is it a coincidence that all these people who really drive the governance structure of NCAA sports happen to be now millionaires, multimillionaires, and the fact that the labor, the people who are actually doing the work, are kept literally below the poverty line when otherwise they'd be very healthy in terms of economics.
Charlie, what about, say, not making direct cash payments to a Johnny Manziel, but allowing him to take endorsement deals? What about something like that?
Well, I mean, you know, to be honest with you, capitalism is not a fair market value. The CEO of Oracle make $96 million a year. The workers make $35,000. That's not an equal market value. So, I mean, I don't think capitalism calls for equal market value. I think capitalism allows you to make an income. And that's what I think, I mean, we have to look at. I mean, I think we're being very naive, but we really believe capitalism calls for equal sharing of the wealth. It does not
call for... That's not what I'm saying. Capitalism, what it does is it prevents people from artificially capping salaries. So if those workers making $35,000 a year can find another employer who will pay them more, they're free to do that. It's not illegal. Whereas in NCAA sports, the entire nation of schools collude, form a cartel, and prevent, you know, that type of competition. And capitalism does have, we have laws to protect fair markets. Fair markets meaning employers can't group together and price fix employee salaries or even the price of gas. Imagine if all of a sudden all the gas companies started charging $8 a gallon and we could do nothing about it. We have laws against this. And I think honestly right now what's happening is the laws aren't being enforced when it comes to college athletics.
Charlie, react to that.
Well, you know, first of all, I think the growth of college, to be honest with you, I was in the NBA and I saw the growth of salaries. And what happened with the growth of salaries was, I think the television market has changed everything. And the television market has come along so fast and have exploded from cable TV to all other things that I don't think that anywhere we are prepared to really understand how to really balance that scale of what the people really deserve. You know, again, capitalism will always call for someone to make more money than the other person. So it's never going to be a fair market. And if I paid Johnny Manziel and he had a great year this year, and then say next year he has a terrible year, what do I do, give him less money next year?
Ramugi, what about that? What about brand equity? You know, Johnny Manziel, for example, is building brand equity that he will be able to capitalize on unless he gets injured.
Well, I think the very few people go pro, first of all. But to answer your earlier question, Johnny Manziel and any other college athlete out there should be free to pursue anything that's legal, do endorsements, autograph signing, sign their own gear, sell their bowl rings, get into clubs for free, all the quote-unquote scandals that actually are not illegal. I mean, I think it's ridiculous that to try to police all that in the first place. Second of all, it's not moral to do that. You don't do that with other Americans. It doesn't make sense. In terms of performance, what you have right now is not only do players not get their market value or anywhere close to it, they're on scholarships. Those scholarships, if Johnny Manziel, arguably, it's hard to imagine that the school wouldn't want him anymore, but if they wanted to, they could cut him. They can not renew his scholarship for the next year. That's today. And then what? Those players that actually don't get their scholarship renews, not only do they not have the means to pursue their degree, but they never tapped into what they were worth, what their actual value was worth. So currently it's much worse, you know, in terms of, you know, can guys get fired from college? Yes, they can. people think is there's a four-year guarantee. There's not. These are one-year renewable scholarships.
Charlie, it just seems like there should be something in between the system that we have now and what would essentially be professional leagues within the universities. What's that something in between?
Well, you know what? I understand that, and really, I waver on both sides because, again, let's be honest, a lot of athletes get into college that if they would have applied to that college, they would not have gotten into on their academic standing. But they were allowed in because they were an athlete. So there's a little give on that end of it. A lot of athletes would not have gotten into college if it wasn't for the fact that they were allowed to get in under a circumstance that was lower than the prerequisites to get into college. That's one part of it. But I do understand athletes should be allowed to share in some of the wealth that is being doled out right now from television and marketing of these players. But again, I just feel like there's got to be an equal allotment to each player. I think when you start getting to, you know, each player being able to, you know, one player being able to sign autographs and make X amount of dollars, and another player might not be as well as known or not well advertised as the other, and he doesn't get that, then you're still going to have some players left in the dark. Everybody still will not be able to probably, if I'm the last player on the team, I still might not get enough money to be able to afford to have my parents come or be able to afford to go home because no one's going to pay for somebody that's not really they have seen or that they have heard of. That's why I think it's got to be an allotment that fairly is generated throughout the whole athletic program of that sport.
We're talking with Charlie Scott and Ramogi Huma on Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're here with Ramogi Huma and Charlie Scott. Ramogi, we've talked almost exclusively, we have talked exclusively about football and basketball. What about all the other athletes?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that, you know, in terms of markets, if you believe in America and in this economic system, markets determine it. I don't think necessarily you have to prescribe everything for everybody. I think you let the schools, to some degree, decide if they want to give more than the scholarship to these other sports. But, you know, one of the things that the I think Delaney said, you know, why not go D3 if we have to choose between paying players and for their publicity rights or not? The fact is that in Division II, you know, there is no big football and basketball money. You know, they try to say that the other sports would go away if you gave football and basketball players more. You know, it's a false assertion because Division II, you don't have big football and basketball funding everything else. You have everybody's non-revenue, okay? They're all non-revenue sports, but you still have hundreds and hundreds of schools giving scholarships across all sports. The schools have these sports in place because they are valuable, period, even without turning a profit. So for Division I to say, well, we're only able to do this because Division I football and basketball are profitable or they make a lot of money, it's a lie. And they're basically trying to hold the non-revenue sports hostage, but they're shooting blanks. There's no bullets in those guns because if resources did go more towards the revenue players, they're still going to maintain them, as evidenced by Division II.
Charlie, there are two groups of athletes on any college campus. There are those who play football and men's basketball primarily, and then all the other athletes. Paying primarily football and basketball players, wouldn't that make it even more of a division between those players and the non-revenue players?
If we're being realistic, isn't there a big division already? I mean, how many lacrosse players do you know by name? How many times do you see the swim? I mean, how many gymnastic people do you know by name? I mean, if we, let's be realistic about our society. We are a society built on, you know, protocol, and you know, and in your capitalism system, as we're talking about it, things are built on protocol. So, I mean, I think it will be more realistic to accept that than try to say, well, you know, that's unfair. I don't think capitalism is a fair system.
Ramogi, we have about 30 seconds left. What do you say to recruits? Not players who are already here, but to recruits.
I think, first of all, for recruits, just realize the full scholarship is not full. You're going to be subject to thousands of dollars in out-of-pocket expenses. If your parents can help or if they can save up to help, let them know now. And if they cannot, then apply for the Pell Grant. The other thing is this. These are one-year renewable scholarships that can be taken away for injury or any other reason, even if you're in good standing. If you think about going out of school, think hard about it, out of state. Think hard about it, because if they take away your scholarship, now you're paying out-of-state tuition and fees, which is a lot more than in-state. And if you try to transfer back in-state, some of those transfers, those credits are not going to transfer, you know, in most cases. So it's a big decision, but at the end of the day, be active. You know, work for change. Don't just accept the status quo.
Interesting discussion. Gentlemen, thank you very much. That does it for this edition of Sports Extra. My thanks to Ramogi Humm and Charlie Scott, to producer Justin Blankenship, and to engineer Gary Kirk. Thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall of the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a production of UNC's College of Journalism and Mass Communication.